This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode is brought to you by Our Pilates, an online physio-led library of classes that you can seamlessly fit into a busy life. With prenatal and postnatal programs, as well as membership options available, Our Pilates has every busy parent covered. Start your free 7-day trial today at ourpilates.com.au. Since I last interviewed Phoebe Simmons over a year ago and Ava Chandler Matthews just under a year ago, the two business owners, mothers and friends have had just a bit going on. Ava is getting ready to launch her business Ultraviolet into the US, and she's actually launching herself into second-time motherhood very soon too. So soon, I'm surprised she even let me convince her to come back on the show. As for Phoebe, the memo is having another big year. They've just opened their Fitzroy store, and they're opening their High Point store in just a few weeks' time. And as you'll hear here, they have no plans to slow down from there. I wanted to get Ava and Phoebe back on the show for many reasons. Firstly, you loved both of their episodes, which I'll link in the show notes. And secondly, they had sons at the same time as I did. They're also friends who have been co-founders in common. And as women in business who I really look up to, I wanted to know what's changed for them both as they continue to move through navigating career and motherhood. So this episode is a bit hodgepodge by design. It's less of an interview and more of a check-in. I wanted you to feel as if you were part of the car talk that mum friends have on the regular as they make their way to or from the office. Here, we talk about the delight of two-year-olds, the things we still don't have the answers for, what Ava will grapple with until the day she dies, and why Phoebe doesn't believe in imposter syndrome. I am Lucinda, this is Ready or Not, and here are two women I couldn't admire more, Ava Chandler Matthews and Phoebe Simmons. Ava and Phoebe, I've had you both on the show, two of the more popular episodes, two businesses or three businesses that I really admire. And now we're checking in about a year later. Our sons have all just turned two, I think within the last month or so. So I wanted to see how we're going, what's changed, what's different. A lot has changed in my areas, and I think it'll be the same for you. The premise of our show, Witching Hour, is all about what's exciting, delighting, intriguing, and frustrating us. And because we're not going to go back to the start for your stories, I thought we'd start there. So Ava, let's start with you. What's exciting you at the moment in career, motherhood, or both?
We are kind of full steam ahead planning our US launch for next year. So that is kind of like, I was having this conversation with Beck, my business partner, earlier, and we were kind of saying like it's like throwing the brand up in the air again. It's almost like relaunching the brand because you need to look at everything. When I say everything, you have to look at packaging, you have to look at names. Like it is, you know, you have to build a website, you know, invest in these retailer partnerships and build a team. And so that's specific to the US because you can't just run it. You know, we've seen so many brands fail trying to run a brand in the US from Australia without that kind of support and that infrastructure. So that's really exciting. It's kind of my day now starts at 7 a.m. in terms of my work day. My day normally started at 7 a.m. Actually, my son's a pretty good sleeper. Sometimes it would start at 7:30. But now my work day starts at 7 a lot of the time to kind of make the time difference. But it is exciting. It's kind of, it's harder also because you are, you know, second guessing yourself a bit with the brand and you know a bit more and you're kind of like, does this work? Rather than just kind of going with it and being like, oh, well, I guess we'll learn. You kind of don't, there's more at stake and more to lose. So it's kind of a bit, you know, a bit more nerve-wracking making decisions at this point because there's a lot more money on the table and a lot more money being spent and just, yeah. So that is both, that is exciting and terrifying. And I'm also 8 months pregnant with my second.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. You've just totally dropped a bomb for me. Congratulations.
Oh, there you go. You can't see the, I wonder if
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, there's a baby reveal, official baby reveal.
That is, yeah. So I guess
just a few things going on.
Yeah. Just a few. You know,
I've never thought about
it. We don't do things in halves, do we, Phoebe?
No, absolutely not. That's boring. No.
And speaking of, Phoebe, I can't even believe that you took this time to speak to us because you're launching your Fitzroy store, or your launch party is tonight for your Fitzroy store. I'm assuming that's something that's exciting you at the moment, but you can either go into that or tell us something else if I've put words in your mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's much more exciting than like day-to-day family life. Day-to-day family life is like great, but it's, you know, it's kind of easy, I guess, compared to, yeah, the ship that we're trying to sail very, very fast at the moment. So, yeah, we're opening our Fitzroy boutique for the Memo, which is our second store in Melbourne. And then in 3 weeks' time, we're opening High Point, which will be our biggest store, and really excited to reach our community in all of those areas who we haven't been able to yet. And then looking at all the other stores that we want to open in the next 6 to 18 months, there's been a huge demand for a real life experience where our customers can touch and try and talk about the products that they're wanting to invest in. And so, yeah, we're really going hard for retail for the Memo. So very, very exciting. And that's the thing that's keeping me up at night for all the right and wrong reasons at the moment.
So you've both just got a bit going on. Let's move to delighting then. Ava, it sounds actually really bizarre when I specifically say what's delighting you, because I've never spoken about it with that specific lens. But what is delighting you at the moment in career or motherhood?
What is delighting me? Let's go with my son. He is, I think, you know, two is a pretty delightful age, I think. And you guys are nodding. So we've obviously, you know, got kids the same age. So it's a pretty adorable age. They're kind of, you see their personality. They can kind of converse with you, you know, whether verbally or otherwise. And they're just pretty adorable and cute. Like, I don't have a super, super affectionate son, although I do get more cuddles as every day passes as he gets older. But they're just funny. Like, they're so cheeky. Well, my son is so cheeky. He's so naughty, and I'm getting that very – I love that, you know, I like how he's got a bit of spunk, and I think it's really – it's funny to see it, and you have to try not to laugh.
Oh, it's very funny.
It's so funny. Like, the other day he was standing on the coffee table, which he knows he can't do, and I said, "Artie, no," and he turned – like, he kind of, like, sat – turned his back to me and then turned his head – like, rotated his neck and, like, looked at me and kind of gave me this weird look and was like, "No." And, like, kind of gave me this, like, weird and this kind of really cheeky, winky kind of no. So it's kind of entertaining, but it's a very, very cute age and probably my favourite yet, I'd say.
We're having very similar experiences over in our house. Last night, we're pretty sure that Ray told Posey to shut up, and we both looked at each other like, and then just couldn't stop laughing. I don't know
fair
how
though, you meant to. You know, yeah. Like, for a toddler to a baby.
Yeah, I've probably told him to shut up, actually, under my breath, and that's where he's got it. I was like, "Hayden, where did you get that from?" And he's like, "Oh, probably us." I was like, "I never say that," but now that I think about it.
They copy everything. It's great. Like, I've been having F-bombs and all the rest of it. They just pick up everything.
So what's delighting you then, Phoebe?
Oh, the same. It's like every day is just so entertaining. Like, I didn't have this at the start when I was in newborn phase. I was very grateful for time that I got away from home, because I was able to assert my own independence and I felt like I had my own body, and, you know, you could just get a little bit of space from everyone kind of clamoring on you and needing you and like feeding from you or whatever. Whereas now I really look forward to every second that I can spend with the family now, and it's hard when you come home and they're already in bed or whatever it is. But no, I think this age is just absolutely delightful. It's so fun. And yeah, I'm the same. I think just it's so cool seeing their personality come out and who they are, yeah, as people. So that's definitely mine. I'm enjoying every day. It's like what people always tell you, like it only gets better. And I feel like that's definitely the case with us.
It's funny. I was having this conversation with my best friend who's pregnant also at the same time. She's 3 weeks ahead of me. And I was saying, you know how like, when obviously we're both pregnant, so you know someone asked me if I was excited the other day and I was like, excited for what? Like my yeah. world to be turned upside down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my mum was like, well, aren't you like just, you know, excited to see the person that's inside of you? And you know how people say, like, I just can't wait to meet this baby. I'm like, well, you're not meaning anything. You're meaning a blob that cries and suckles. Like there's no personality. You've got to wait 2 years.
Yes.
You're like 2 years yeah. to meet the person. Like obviously you can get a sense and you can kind of, but you don't really, like you might know some things, like you might know how stubborn they might be or if they've kind of got a bit of a sense of humor or if they're going to be a bit more serious or, you know, a bit more lighthearted or cheeky. But, and you might know that, but you might not. But I was kind of just like, it's weird to say you get to know this person and I'm so excited to meet this thing inside me. And it's like, you're not actually seeing that person until they're this age.
I couldn't agree more. It's like that idea of a baby's name suiting them. I know a lot of people think that, but I've always been like, they're a newborn. I think they're going to suit the name if I give them that name.
That's just projecting.
Names come out, yeah, like totally. Do names come out suiting newborns? I don't understand that and I never have.
Well, I mean, look, I had a name that I was quite certain was going to be Artie's name. And then when he came out, he was too little. That name was like for a bigger boy. And I was like,
was it Doug? We were going to go with Doug. And no, we actually should have in hindsight looking at my
Doug,
child.
I could see him being a Doug.
Yeah, he's a Doug.
He's a Doug. No, it was Bobby. And I was like, Bobby is like a bruiser kid. Like he's a chubby, big, fat, roly-poly baby.
Bobby.
I actually, that's the first time I've actually understood the context of this naming thing now. I actually know a little Bobby who's a toddler and he's like a cheeky, rambunctious sort of big boy. So I actually get it now. I'm glad I asked this. So there is context where that makes sense.
Yeah. And whereas Artie was smaller and finer and I was like, he needs like a finer name, he needs like a softer kind of name.
What is intriguing you at the moment, either like just being a woman in the world or in business or at home?
Probably something that Ava and I have been talking about. Yeah, well, we've been talking a bit about, and it's that podcast that I still get so many DMs about, that Ezra Klein one around that deep conflict between our work and parenting ideals and how society is just so pro-child but anti-natal. And I think that's something that has been challenging a lot of women who I speak to at the moment. And the thing that have you listened to it?
Do you know what? I've listened to bits, but I haven't listened to the whole thing because it is long and I really need to.
Yeah, it's long, but you do need to concentrate. But essentially it's just that more than ever, at more than like 30, 50 years ago, parents are spending even more time with their kids because we're investing so much into our children's development and how we want to take them to the museum and to, you know, sensory classes and things like that. Whereas back in the day, it was, you know, you'd go out on your bikes for the day during school holidays and then you'd come back for a feed. But then you have to balance that with also doing paid work. And I think that what came out of it for me was about whether you can have it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always really loved that phrase, I can do anything, but I can't do everything. And I think that's particularly true for me at the moment, that you're never going to be able to spin all the plates at the same time. And I think privileged people like myself, ourselves, and, you know, like Ezra Klein, like we get so much purpose and identity through our careers. And then we have to balance that with being fully committed parents, which is what we've signed up for. And we're totally capable of doing it. And it is possible, but we have to acknowledge that that also comes with either some form of emotional, physical, and economic cost. And I think it's just something that in the early days postpartum, I was really resentful and I just could not get my head around it. I couldn't get my head around my identity and who I was after birth. I couldn't get my head around the balance. I couldn't get my head around how inequitable I felt it was between the mum and the dad, i.e. Yeah. myself and my partner in our dynamic, you know, that my partner was also owns businesses, but he was back at doing paid work 8 days after, and I was, you know, doing what I considered harder work. And so, yeah, I think it's just this thing that I don't know if it wasn't like they were giving us a particular answer. Oh, no, the answer is Sweden, Scandinavia always has all of the answers. Yes. But, you know, like Australia is better than America. America's sounds like a horrible place to, or really challenging place that's very antenatal and not super supportive of parents with their policies. But it's not that I know what the solution was, except that you want to go back to that communal type of living where you've got more support from different families because you can't do it all and you just have to share the load. But whether that's possible in, you know, inner city Melbourne is, you know, once again, probably a bit unrealistic.
We talk about the village a lot, and then anytime someone tries to offer help, I still find it really hard to say yes. Sometimes I say yes just so that, for example, yesterday a friend knew I was just really tired, a bit run down, all of that. She wanted to give me food and she offered, and I said, I'm only saying yes because when you have your baby in a few months, I want you to say yes. And it takes that us to like adopt the village mentality, but it was so hard for me to say yes. Ava, with you about to have your second child, how are you feeling about that concept of having it all? Where does that sit for you?
I mean, look, I think this is a problem put to women to answer that is and to come up with the solution. But it's, you know, no one ever asked men this
Never.
Question. But it is, you know, I think, I don't know whether it's, you know, that women feel more pressure to do everything well. Or at the very least, we feel more of that pressure to be a good parent, more so than men who kind of just take it as it comes. You know, it's a bit more, you know, they'll do what they can on the day.
Yeah.
Whereas we're thinking about with the other stuff they've got to juggle, whereas we're thinking about trying to do everything to a relatively high standard, I suppose, and not, you know, let the children ball drop. But I listened to a podcast from Emma Greed, and she, you know, I know Phoebe, you don't buy into the imposter syndrome, and neither does she actually. But she was saying that, you know, you don't have to be around all the time and do everything with your kids to show that you love them and care about them. And kids don't need all of you. So they don't need all of you every single day to feel loved. And it was with
Jay Shetty. Yeah.
And he was saying how his mother was a working mother, and, you know, she'd be there in the mornings, and then she kind of took an entrepreneurial job so she could be around the kids. But, you know, he also acknowledged that she worked a lot and she wasn't present for, you know, swimming carnivals and whatever, school plays, wasn't there around there. And he was saying, I never for one second doubted that she loved me and that she was supportive. So I think, And Emma was kind of saying, agree, like you kind of do have to choose. You don't have to make a choice one over the other, but you have to say, like, if I'm growing this business or if I'm investing in this business for the future of my family, you're not going to be able to get to everything. And kids don't need all of you. Like, they don't need all of you all the time. Yeah. And I think it's just about being comfortable with that, which is a really uncomfortable thing to kind of as a mother to grapple with. But the sentiment was like, they're going to be okay, you know. Yeah. And the other side to that was, you know, they were talking about friends of theirs whose parents were around all the time, had a work, you know, stay-at-home mom and dad that was potentially, you know, a bit more around, and they didn't feel as connected necessarily to their parents as both of these people did. I really liked that perspective on it.
Yeah.
It kind of relieved a bit of the guilt, because the reality is, launching into the US, I'm going to be traveling at least 4 times a year for 2 weeks at a time, and I'm going to be leaving. I almost feel a lot of guilt leaving my children, but I also feel a lot of guilt leaving my husband.
Yes, 100%. It's that.
even though it's not, I'm not going away for girls' weekends in Mexico. Like it's all work, but it is, you know, in some ways it is a bit of a break. You're staying in a hotel, like you're working like a dog, but you're also not at home doing that stuff, and you're leaving all of that care to one person. Oh, well, and then the village. But someone said to me when I was pregnant, oh, you'll be fine. You've got a lot of support. And I said, I actually have no fucking support.
No.
All of our family. Our family.
Your mum's in Sydney, isn't she? Yeah.
All of our family's in Sydney. Yeah. The support I have, I pay for. And like, that's not as, you know, no support's 100% reliable. But it's kind of like I have this network of people I pay for. And it's not the same as having a parent.
Yes.
Or even a grandparent. But you just have to surround yourself with people that, you know, love your kids and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But it is, it's a really, you know, I'll grapple with this till the day I die. And look, my mother worked full time with me, and I don't feel for a second that she, maybe I did as a kid, but, you know, actually maybe as a younger kid, but as a teenager, I was absolutely fine with her not being around. So, you know, I've had a good role model. Sorry, there's like a birthday party being set up.
We actually can't hear it. Don't worry.
Oh, good. Okay, good. there's a lot of thumping. Yeah, I've had a good role model in that sense. Yeah, for me, it's kind of like, what is the necessary stuff?
Yeah.
On both sides.
Mm. And how do we achieve that?
Super important stuff. Yeah, and how do you kind of get all of that stuff done rather than feeling like you have to go. Like, not both parents don't have to go to every single thing. Or like, if you're going to miss something that's, you know, your kid's not a runner and it's the athletic carnival, sorry, like, I'm probably not going to come.
No.
Yeah.
So you want to hang out with your friends anyway? I don't need my parents there.
No. No, I don't know. I feel like I kind of just rambled, but it is something I think about every day.
No, I love that.
I don't think anyone solved it in history.
No.
No,
but I love you bringing up the idea of them being loved, because I actually interviewed Neha Roosh this morning from Mother Untitled, and she talked about all the data points that point to it doesn't really matter if the parents work inside the home or outside of the home, as long as they know they're loved, that seems to be the thing that raises healthy, well-rounded children that feel important and, you know, build all these character traits that we want them to in order to live a happy life. And I think it's really important to remember, because one of my frustrations, and I was going to ask you what's frustrating you as my last part of this, but I'm going to give you one of my frustrations, and you can either speak to that or you can go into yours. Something that I am frustrated by is the real tension that exists between the guilt that I sometimes have of leaning on childcare or whatever it is and not being there all the time for my kids or my kid, because Posey's not in care yet, versus the, well, how happy would I be if my kids were with me full time? Because I don't think that they'd have the best version of me if I had them 5 days a week. And I get really frustrated, because sometimes you see that data that says that kids under the age of 3 shouldn't be in childcare or whatever. And then I think, but how do we weigh that up with a happy mum? Because if I'm there angry at them all day because I haven't
screaming at them
in 5 weeks, like, where does that leave us? That can't be good for them. Surely they're better at childcare.
100%. They're better at childcare.
Hello, Ava, water play. We were talking about, like, I mean, there are so many activities that are best left to childcare versus being in our home. You know, like, I'm not setting up a water play area in my house, or painting, or Play-Doh, or chalk.
Or building a sport out of a building.
I'm not doing it.
No.
Please don't get me to play. No. I mean, look.
Just play to our strengths, yeah? And it's not for building.
Yeah. No, it isn't. Yeah, I mean, there's no way I could be a stay-at-home mother. I mean, I think it's a much harder job than the one I currently do. To be honest, well, it would be harder for me. So I couldn't do that. I would feel resentful. I would feel diminished. I would feel not fulfilled. There's so many things I would feel. And some people, it's the reverse. They would go to work and feel the opposite of all of those things. So they would feel not fulfilled, like they were doing the wrong thing, and that they'd feel better in caring for their children full time. So And I don't think it's, you know, I don't actually think it's like, oh, I want to work 3 days and then have 2 days with the kids. Like, that's also not a solution. I'm a worker. I obviously have my own business. I'm committed to seeing that through. But the time I do spend, you know, the time I spend with my son and soon to be my children, I really try for it to be quite committed to them. Like, no one's perfect, but I'm not sitting there looking at my phone and plonking in front of the TV. If I've only got an hour, 45 minutes at night, I'm trying to kind of like engage with him in some way and reading him stories, or, you know, sometimes we will just sit together on the couch and watch a bit of Miss Rachel if I've had a really long day, or, you know, whatever it looks like. Or, you know, I won't play, but I'll like supervise a play.
Yeah,
you'll be there.
It's the present version of you who's had the break from the parenting, as opposed to the distracted one. And I think you might have to go now, Ava. Is that right?
Yes. Speaking of distraction, yes.
We're going to let Ava drop off.
All right. Good to see you guys.
Bye, Ava.
Bye.
So Ava is a busy woman, as is Phoebe. We're going to keep Phoebe a little bit longer. Phoebe, either piggyback off that if you'd like, or tell me another frustration. What's swirling around in your mind at the moment?
No, I think that's a good one. I mean, Ava and I talk a lot about it. This kind of stuff, because we both have kids the same age and we both own businesses with co-founders, and we kind of similar kind of age of our businesses. So we're very like-minded, and I agree with everything Ava said. I don't feel as much guilt. I don't really think about guilt too much, because I just don't find it useful. Like, it's not going to help me with anything. Yeah. I'm quite practical like that. So I'm just like, well, it is what it is. This is where we are this year, or this is where we are this time. Obviously I'm heading into a really huge 6 months, but then I'm balancing that with two family trips, one of which is a honeymoon. Then we're going to take the kids for some of it and not the rest. And, you know, you just got to work your way through in the way that works best for you. I think one thing that I do find frustrating and very unhelpful is this comparison culture online with social media. And we should avoid it at all costs. You know, particularly like in those early stages, so much of conversations that we hear at the memo is how hard it is when you see, or, you know, you might've remembered this in parents group and stuff, where you're like, oh, so-and-so's already started eating solids, or so-and-so's, you know, be able to breastfeed, or, you know, so-and-so's already back at paid work. And, you know, it's just not helpful, because everyone's personal experience is different. Their professional experience is different. Their family dynamic is different. And surprise, their baby is different. Yeah. So it is such a mixed bag, and you're not going to feel good about yourself if you just constantly comparing your life to others. So Instagram's not great for that.
Are you someone, because you strike me as someone that probably is good at that. I know you're speaking more broadly to just how new mums feel. Was that something you went through personally, or it's more just what you hear through your community, which obviously is huge by now?
I try not to subscribe to things that aren't helpful to me. The same as, you know, Ava mentioned, like, I don't believe in imposter syndrome, because it's completely unhelpful. It's going to hold you back. So I try and be quite rational like that. So no, I don't subscribe to comparison culture. I think particularly because my experience as a parent, I guess, is quite unique, because I have a 7-year-old stepson as well. Yeah. I had a different path to parenthood. I was a first time mum, but a second time parent.
Yes.
When I had Remy. I have to just forge my own way, as did everyone else.
And I remember when we talked originally, you mentioned struggling with your identity. How do you think you've reconciled that over the last year? Do you think, I mean, I sort of feel like I'm more embracing of the term mum. Maybe I felt a bit more anti, maybe because motherhood was sold as such like a matronly martyr type thing back in the day that I was a little bit more anti that label, whereas now I think I'm more willing to accept the label as mum. How do you feel about your identity now?
That's so great, Lou. What an amazing thing to be able to say. I agree with you. I think it's but once again, this comes through of how parenthood is being expressed online. Yeah. I think now is that I think that people are sharing only one side of parenthood, or it's the side. I think people hold back from sharing all the good stuff on socials around parenthood because they, you know, they're being so considerate of how other people might not be enjoying it as much or might not be able to be parents. And I think that can create a different narrative. And so I think it's really good to be able to say how much you're enjoying it. And I really struggled not as much around like being a mom, but just more like, who am I as a person? Yeah. And I would say it was only after finishing breastfeeding and then I was able to like burn all of my open button down shirts, like never again. It just reminds me of postpartum so much. And you know, start getting myself a new wardrobe, that really helped as well. And I think that was really important for me figuring out who I want to be in my career, how I want to express my personality. That was one tool that I leaned on. And finishing breastfeeding, I really enjoyed breastfeeding. I didn't have any challenges with it. But I was, when it finished, it was like, okay, great, let's move on. Let's close
out. I was the same. I wasn't dreading. I sort of thought I would. If I was about 6 months postpartum with Ray, I'm sure at that time I was a bit thinking, oh, our journey might end in 3-6 months, whatever. And I thought I'd feel emotional. And then the day it finished, I was just like, ready. Take me to the next chapter. Awesome. I wonder if maybe our identity feels a bit different then because we're still, someone's still so needy of us, whereas then you sort of shed a layer of neediness, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And then, so you've got these, you know, to our point at the start of our chat around these unique personalities coming out in our boys, and it's like, oh, they're their own person and therefore I can be, rather than being intertwined as one, which you are for 9 months of pregnancy, definitely in postpartum. And you kind of come out the other side as two unique people who love each other but don't have to spend 24/7 with each other necessarily, in my experience.
No, I agree. It's funny. Even this time around, I was saying to someone yesterday, one of my friends, I knew to expect these things to all happen again, as in I knew I was physically going through breastfeeding again and that I might feel touched out and all of that. What I didn't anticipate was that the feeling would be exacerbated. It wasn't just that I was going through it again. It was like, oh my God, I've already done this. And the weight of it is heavier. It's not like it doubled. It's like it almost tripled. So I think this time around, I'm going to, as much as I love breastfeeding, I think I'm going to be happy to shed that layer as we're putting it now. In our chat last time, you also mentioned, which I feel like has been a real part of the memo messaging, that there's more than one way to feed your baby and there's more than one way to parent. What has perhaps been added to your messaging more lately that you feel quite passionate about pushing or making mothers feel seen or parents in general?
Yeah. Thanks for identifying that. That is the DNA of our brand. It's to help all parents do baby their way. And I guess the next layer that I built on to our comms over the last year that I speak to a lot is that we want to help more parents feel good, prepared, understood, and supported. I think that, you know, the good and prepared, that's fine. That comes with the kind of shopping experience. I think the understood and supported is particularly important. We've invested a lot in education. We're just about to launch Preconception, which will have its own editorial. We have a fabulous team of experts in store, and their training is all based on to help educate, empower, and empathize with our community, with our customers. And we will never assume any knowledge. We'll never assume that you understand what a slow flow teat is, because why should you until you've been in it? We will never assume that you're going to breastfeed, or you'll have a vaginal birth, or, you know, that you'll co-sleep or not co-sleep or whatever. Like, just if you've got some questions, we can help guide you in the right direction and help you break down the parenting category so you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. So that's what we've been really focusing on. And I'm really passionate about that, particularly with our retail expansion, because I think we've got more chances to connect and look people in the eye and really like just touch their arm and talk, you know, and wherever that takes us.
I love the way you mentioned empathizing, because my friends and I over the years have spoken so many times about if you're getting your bloods done or you have some sort of appointment, and when you're going to the doctors, pregnant or not, you're always a little bit vulnerable. And when the health practitioner doesn't treat you in a way that empathizes with those vulnerabilities, you feel terrible. And you've just made me realize that a retail experience, particularly in the land of baby, if you're new to it, could feel the same way. So that's incredible messaging. If you look back over the last year particularly, what do you think has improved, or what do you think has become slightly easier in making work work the older Remy gets?
I feel more confident being able to compartmentalize my life a bit more. So same as kind of like what Ava was saying, like when I'm at home, when I've come home for the day, it's like I try not to look at my phone, and knowing that I've only got maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe if I'm lucky an hour and a half with these kids, or with Remy before he needs to go to bed. And it's like, what can we make of this time together? And that's really good for me too. And I think because I'm not as stretched, because when I'm at work, I am at work, and they're longer hours rather than trying to do part-time, half days here and there. And so you never feel fully like you've got closure on the day or the week. Whereas I just try and solidly block my working time and my paid working time, my non-paid working time, so that I can be better at both. Not good, but better.
Yeah, it's almost like you're satisfying both needs as opposed to trying to do them both concurrently and never quite satisfying either needs, the business or your children.
Oh my gosh, like Remy had hand, foot and mouth last week before, let me rephrase that. He was sent home from daycare because of that. Yeah. And so I had to bring him to work, and he was in like, he was in his pram, and I had to have business meetings walking round and round the block. Like, that was not fun. That sucked. Sucked for him, sucked for me, sucked for my colleagues, because I was trying to do too many things at once. But, you know, like, hello, we're opening our store 10 days later. So, it's really, really hard. So that's definitely not the ideal, but it's also the reality sometimes.
And before I let you go, talking about sort of getting dressed again, burning those shirts that you never, ever wanted to see again, I'm definitely starting to care more about what I wear again. I don't know. I feel like perhaps fun, because I've had two under two, as soon as I was pregnant again after Ray, I felt, I don't know, a bit fuddy-duddy again. I hate to say it, but you know what it's like. You're pregnant again.
Totally.
You've just been through postpartum. You just feel a bit off. Whereas now I'm like, I doubt I'll have a third child. And even if I do, there'll be a very big gap. So now I'm like, I want to get back to myself. So I want to know, what are your favorite brands at the moment? Where have you been shopping? What are you loving in terms of feeling like yourself, I guess, at work or at home?
I spend a lot of time at Friends with Frank. I love that brand. I also really love shopping at Philly Stable, which is in just off Albert Park. That's a really fun place. You go there and I just ask them to style me, and they come out with things that I would never have chosen, because I'm not that fashion forward. And I'm like, I would never put that together or that together. I wouldn't have had the confidence to play with that. And I always walk out feeling so great and kind of recharged. So they have a really great brand called On Parks. And I love the Undone store.
I said to Hayden the other day, it's funny, I get a voucher for any Christmas, Mother's Day or birthday. I just want clothes vouchers because then I can buy something that I normally wouldn't justify. And it's been Inku the last few years, but I said to Hayden, I want it to be the Undone store going forward.
That's so I'm right there with you. Yeah. And I think that's kind of good because it's good for where you're at in your life because it's all about those basics and like elevated essentials, and this goes with that. And it's not true. Yeah, it's all about those classic styles that can work and you don't have to think too hard after them. So yeah, no, I really enjoy, I get very inspired by what Sarah puts together.
Oh, I would love to own her wardrobe. Phoebe, I am so mindful that you're rushing off to get ready for the launch party tonight, which I wish I was coming to, but as I told you, had to set a boundary. I have to stay home and look after my energy. So just to recap, your store's opening in Fitzroy by the time this goes out, and High Point, what date's that one opening?
It's June 22nd.
Great. So that this will be out before then too. Congrats. Awesome. And thank you very much for coming back on.
Thanks so much, Lucinda.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe, or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.